Welcome everyone to this week's Really Big Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Chizuk. I'm joined by my wife and co-host, Acronym.
Hi.
And we are here for another week to talk to you about something that somebody is a really big fan of. This is going to be another one of those weeks where it's just the two of us, and we're going to talk about something that Acronym is a really big fan of, coming up later in the show. We'll tell you about our serotonin boost as always, and I want to hit it right at the top of the show. Thank you to everybody that is on our Patreon, and if you're not one of them, you could be thanked, as well as get exclusive content for $5 a month. You get not only ad-free versions of this show, you also get our Really Big Fan Podcast double feature, where myself and Mike Pandoff talk about movies, some of our favorite movies. I just got done watching some Westerns over the weekend for the next episode that we're going to record, and I should have the latest episode out by the time this drops over on Patreon. So make sure you head on over to patreon.com/reallybigfanpod. Headline time.
It's the headlines. It's the headlines. Oh. Hey. It's the headlines. Okay, Justin Timberlake, settle down.
I was trying to, trying to add on there. Jeez. All right, well, let's start with what is probably the big one, and that is that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, died at the age of 68 this past week. He also did the character designs for the Dragon Quest games on the Nintendo and Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo, a very prolific anime and manga artist, as well as writer and creator. I think even though Dragon Ball is not my particular anime, I don't think anime would be what it is without Dragon Ball.
Probably not.
And
it's very popular.
Lots of people over the last couple of weeks giving their own eulogies for him. I know we saw at a house show that Naomi and Zelina Vega did the fusion dance ring as kind of a, you know, we'll miss you. And Adult Swim, who pretty much introduced an entire generation to Dragon Ball through playing anime during the weekdays, is going to be playing the most, I think it's the most recent Dragon Ball series all next week, starting this Saturday. They're going to do a big marathon of it. Nice. And it's a series that is the first series, the Dragon Ball Z series, but completely redone, so instead of it being like 300 or 400 episodes, it's only 170.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It kind of like condenses it, so it's not as like every week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I know, as far as I'm concerned, my Akira Toriyama input was mainly the Chrono Trigger game and the Dragon Quest games, which there was a Dragon Quest anime that he also did that only ran like 4 or 5 episodes. It was one of these weird things where there was a It is Channel 62 that was also like a UPN thing or whatever. But when I was growing up, they would get some licensed stuff that like nobody had and play it in the afternoon for cartoons. And I remember seeing this Dragon Quest anime and being like, I played that game. I didn't know there was a cartoon for it. And then like 4 episodes later, I just never saw it again.
Oh, geez. Wow. All right.
So yeah, we'll miss you, Mr. Akira Toriyama, and we appreciate everything you've done for the world of anime.
I'm going to dive into this because this is definitely some of my territory here. The House bill passes that could lead to a TikTok ban if Chinese owner refuses to sell.
Yes.
So the House today passed the bill that would lead to a nationwide ban of TikTok if they don't sell from and detach from ByteDance.
Yeah.
So the bill passed at a vote of 352-65. And their concern over it is that it's a national security threat in their eyes.
Yeah.
But the flip side and the obvious knowledge of knowing what TikTok is basically is that you kind of don't have the censorship of the way that Instagram and Facebook and all these Meta properties work. So you're actually getting actual news from all over the world from other people. On top of, obviously, there is misinformation, there is stupidity, there are awful influencers, there's so many different things that you can go down that rabbit hole with. But overall, it's the closest thing to free speech we have as an app, I would say, in certain aspects. At any rate, So they basically are going to have around 6 months, I think I saw.
Yeah, that's what I read. Is yeah. They've got like a 6 month window to, which it's kind of wild for an arm of the American government to be telling a Chinese company what they can and can't do. Like, right. Hey, sell your extremely valuable and successful internet property or we're going to make it illegal here.
Right.
Which is just okay.
It's so stupid, honestly. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous. But, I mean, if it ends up going down, it ends up going down. Like, there's not really...
I mean, there's something similar happened with Flappy Bird originally, wasn't it? Where they pulled it...
About Flappy Bird.
Well, they pulled it off of the App Store for whatever reason. And then suddenly iPhones that still had Flappy Bird on them were worth... thousands of dollars.
Right. Yeah. There are certain things that, like, they'll remove things from Apple Store or whatever, and you can't get access to the app or whatever, but that's, like, the price you pay for having an app, I think, on these sites as well.
Yeah.
But you can't add anything to your phone if you don't have an App Store, like, at least in the iPhone aspect. I don't know if Google... I mean, obviously, you can make, like, home pages to browser windows.
Yeah, I think an Android phone is much more comfortable communicating with a Windows-based computer.
Exactly.
So I think you can download stuff and then, like, take it from your computer into your phone and...
Right. I don't think that there's not any form of, like, you can look at TikTok on desktop, but I don't know if you can actually use it.
Yeah, I don't know that you can film stuff on desktop. I think it's made primarily for the phone.
Right. So, like, aside from, like, cracking your phone or using VPNs or anything like that, who knows what'll happen, but there are both good reasons and bad reasons that this could be gone.
I do philosophically agree that something needs to be done about mass misinformation
mm-hmm.
that is going on in this world. But also, I don't know that there is a group of people that are trustworthy enough to be in charge of taking care of that.
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. It's like, you know, it's like the ring in Lord of the Rings. Like, they had 9 people that are supposed to take care of it, and then they all started fucking over each other. Like, that's all that it ever is.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't trust our own government, much less our House of Representatives, to tell us which apps are, you know, the least bad for spreading misinformation.
Well, yeah, there's that. And honestly, too, it's like, if you look at other outlets across the world, like, they do report different information. We are not getting everything.
Right. Well, and to a degree, too, like, it's not like TikTok is, like, the bastion of, like you said, people do get their news and everything on TikTok, mm-hmm. but then it's not like it's the only place you can really get the real stuff.
Because
you've seen the same thing with Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Even to a degree with Facebook at one point, where it was like, people are just getting their news on Facebook. And once people who... traffic and misinformation or figure out how to monetize something like that, figure that out is when we started getting the really heavy algorithms that don't show you everything. And
I also wonder if part of the fear of it, too, is because of things like the Sora AI, where people can start to create videos that are very convincing.
Right.
So, like I said, there's good and bad reasons for all of it, but I find it extremely interesting, and I personally stopped using it, like, maybe, I don't know, like, I'll go in there, maybe post something if I made a video,
but yeah.
I really don't use it anymore, because it's like, there's a lot of toxicity in the comments, and video blows up, it's like... You're getting hate right to your phone, and then I get...
Yeah, it's extremely...
Take the heat, get out of the kitchen, and I got out of the kitchen.
I mean, that happens on almost every social media, is you're going to get, just absolute trolls.
For some reason, when you're putting your face out on an account like that, and then people are directly attacking you, as you're talking.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like,
oh, for sure.
I never wanted to be famous. There was never any doubt. Like, I don't have any desire to be famous.
The only reason.
Pay my bills.
The only reason I ever wanted to be famous was so I could tell people to look at the shit that I think is cool.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Hey, know, this like, band is great, or hey, this cartoon was cool. Check out this comic book.
But we're doing that now.
Yeah, we're just not famous.
Yeah, we're just not famous. Like,
but we still get to do that.
But some people care, and you know, that's what we're saying.
I'm certainly not disregarding Invisible Tony.
No. No, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, when you have that type of platform, it's kind of different than like posting your art or posting other things. And I'm sure like if you were on Twitch or like blowing up or whatever, it would be like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm thankful. I mean, you know, it would be nice to be successful on Twitch, but I'm also thankful that like I can look over at the comments and I can see everybody. It's not this constantly scrolling page that I'm I have no idea how many people are there.
Well, that and like it's what's being yelled at you in the comments, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Like that. Like, I mean, I get hate texts and whatever from like people on Instagram, but it's somehow different when it's in mass like that.
Yeah.
And that's what that platform does. I have one video that has 3 million views on it, and people will actually see it on Instagram and be like, dude, I found your video over here.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird to have that type of, you know, maximization. So people got to be, you know, that type of person to do it.
And that's something to think of, too. Like, let's say we live in a world where TikTok doesn't exist in the United States anymore.
Yeah.
All those trolls got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to filter out into the other apps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I figure a lot of the people will go back to Instagram because Instagram is still doing reels.
Yes.
So that and to that point, I have no basis on this other than knowing that Zuck has his little fingers in the government, that I do feel like that is part of the thing.
It is suspicious.
To go back to the American
ads. Facebook isn't a
control.
It's an American company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Put your content on an American app.
Yeah.
We make better apps in the US of A than them other overseas apps.
But if they have somebody that can control the algorithms, like Mark, don't kick us off of Meta.
Well, speaking of platforms, a couple of years ago, Neil Young took all his stuff off of Spotify because he was angry that they were giving Joe Rogan his platform.
Yes.
$200 million they poured into his Joe Rogan Experience podcast. He has returned to Spotify.
Yeah. He said low.
My decision comes as other music services have started serving the same disinformation podcast I had been opposed to on Spotify. And because I cannot leave all those services like I did Spotify, because then my music would have no streaming outlet to music lovers at all, he has returned to Spotify.
Yeah,
and like
low res or high, they don't do high res audio.
Right. And I, you know, this isn't to be like, ha ha on Neil Young. I don't blame you. If you want your stuff to exist, you got to play the game, even if it means I'm definitely come from a more of a music fan side when it comes to streaming music. Like, I understand the artists being like, we don't get paid jack. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get paid jack for the music that I've got on Spotify. Go search Static Panther by Drizzle. You can check out very good music. But I also, you know, as a fan of like the Smashing Pumpkins, I'm like, why in the world isn't this album on here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, or you go through an album and it's like, why is that track missing?
Right.
What is going on there? So, you know, if you're a Neil Young fan, well, you can listen to him on Spotify again. So.
And if you're a Garth Brooks fan, good fucking.
Good luck.
Entertainer of the year, my ass. So. We've seen the Oscars stuff.
Yeah.
And John Cena was naked.
Well, kind of naked.
He did have some stuff covering him.
He was wearing that like weird sleeve that they wear for sex scenes.
Exactly. So the thing that people don't understand, and I just want to put this out there because I don't even see a ton of articles on it, is that one of the reasons John Cena did this was because they were presenting in the costume design category, And the Costume Designers Union is having, like, they're speaking out about all of the inequality of pay.
Yeah.
So it is tied to their campaign because it's called Naked Without Us. Mm-hmm. So John Cena got naked on TV, and it's partially solidarity. There was also a streaker 50 years ago at the Oscars. So there's also that joke to be played as well. And we could see him, a lot of him.
I mean, he looked good.
Yeah.
For a guy his age, I mean, we know he works out, and he must still work out because he still looks pretty good. Yeah, he did get some Rogaine or something going on in there.
His hair looks better.
So we're a week away from the X-Men 92 series. X-Men 90? Yeah, no, it's called X-Men 97 because it's supposed to be like what the next season would be after it originally came out. And they fired the showrunner.
I saw
just before they did like the red carpet events and everything.
They said he had an OnlyFans.
Is that what you heard?
At one point, yeah.
Okay, because he's a gay black man. His name's Bao DeMeo, and he had said that he'd already worked on both the first and second season of this, which means there will be a second season,
right?
Presumptuously, of X-Men 97. But yeah, it was kind of like they deactivated his email and his Instagram account where he would share screenshots or you know, talk with fans and something. And he was a big proponent of, like, he really liked X-Men. So he really enjoyed working on this. So, and nobody's really talking about, like, so what happened here? But I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll find out.
I didn't have any proof basis. I had seen people talking about it. And
yeah.
It said something about, like, a gay black man with an OnlyFans. Disney doesn't like that.
Well.
So I don't
if that's the case, reason. Then, yeah. That's,
I don't think. But, it said that he didn't have it now, but he had it in, like, years ago.
Yeah. There's a game coming out for the PlayStation called Rise of the Ronin, and it's you play a masterless samurai in ancient Japan, and it has a whole side quest arc where you pet cats.
That sounds like the perfect game for you.
You find cats in different areas of the map, and then you befriend them and you pet them, and then you go back to this merchant, and she's like, "You met who? Oh, I love that cat," and she gives you something in game for it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought that was great.
If that was the entire game, that would be...
If it was just cats, yeah.
For you.
No, like, you still have to, like, kill ninjas and like, bandits and whatnot, but then you get to befriend a cat.
The whole thing, I think your favorite part of Red Dead Redemption 2 is you could pet a dog.
You could pet that dog.
Can I pet that dog?
Look at that screenshot. Look at that kitty.
That's adorable.
He's so cute. There's another cute kitty.
Aw.
Yeah.
You want to know something else real quick?
What's that?
Flava Flav got Billie Eilish a clock.
A big clock?
She now has a big pink clock with...
It says Billie Eilish in the Barbie font?
Barbie font. And so apparently...
That's adorable. She looks so happy.
She looks so happy. Flava Flav gets these done by somebody specifically. Like, he has a personal clockmaker.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he doesn't just, like, sign off on, like, that. Let that guy make clocks for people and then, like, put his name on it, kind of thing.
Enough, it was a woman.
I'm sorry, I'm hurt.
She makes all of his clocks custom, and that is the only person she makes them for. So he must pay her very well.
I would think. That can't be her only job.
That was like over 1,000 crystals or something.
It's all bejeweled.
It's all bejeweled, and they're all hand laid, and like that's like a paper thing in the inside, like, that she did or whatever. So real cute though. Like, Billie looks so fucking stoked.
She does.
And I mean, honestly, if Flava Flav gave you a clock, wouldn't you be excited?
Yeah, of course.
Like, holy crap, he actually gave me a clock. He thinks I'm worthy of a clock.
Now the question is, do they do a track together?
You know, he's really trying hard.
Yeah.
Because you're tying in the Barbie fandom, the Billie Eilish fandom. He's already been to the Eras tour. Like, he is... His publicist is amazing.
Whoever
it is.
Old is Flava Flav now?
He's got to be in his 50s.
Right? I was going to say, he's got to be a little older than I am.
I would say he's probably in his 50s. But he's around here a lot.
He is.
He's
in the Detroit area. 64.
64.
Wow.
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 I can't believe you're 64. Flava Flav, he was at the Eras tour here, he was trading bracelets with little girls.
Yeah, it was cute.
And the Arts Beats and Eats, he showed up once.
Yeah.
With Flo Rida. Nice. He was jumping around on stage with him, which was hilarious. So, yeah, she was super stoked about it.
Do you remember when the newest Pokemon game came out and they showed the legendaries? They were motorcycles. They were like little dudes that were motorcycles.
Yeah.
Well, Toyota is literally making one.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it'll be like mass produced.
No, probably just making one to
just like, to show that they could.
Yeah.
But it's got little LEDs in the eyes.
That's fun.
The Mirrodon is the one, is the blue one. But yeah, they're making one that you can actually ride.
You know Zelina Vega is going to want one.
She wants to ride it out at WrestleMania.
Right. Can I borrow that? Oh, man.
Well, I think that's about all I got.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Acronym about something that she is very passionate about, a great big fan of, and that is climbing through broken windows into buildings that are falling down so she can take pictures of garbage.
That's so rude.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Really Big Fan Podcast, where we talk to some of our best friends about what they're really big fans of. One of my best friends is my co-host.
Hi.
Acronym. And something that she's been a really big fan of since before we even met is urban exploring.
I was wondering if you were going to call it that or if you were just going to keep continuing to call
it. No, I was not.
Different things.
No, it was funny to go into the last break by trashing something you adore because I knew it would make you laugh. But no, it's called urban exploring, and it is. Well, let's start there. What is the definition to you of urban exploring?
It's going into properties or locations that were once populated that are no longer populated to document and basically explore it. So
what are you documenting?
To a degree, and this sounds really weird, but it's like almost like a historical thing in some aspects, because you have these buildings that are like super beautiful or
at one time were.
Yeah, exactly. And then over time, like, Americans are really bad at wasting things. And one of those things is property. And when you see a lot of these different buildings, you're seeing like it almost like a snapshot in time, but then it's also decaying.
Yes.
So certain things like abandoned churches are really pretty to me because of the decay and the, you know, the departure from religion and God. Like it's a, sure, a godless place inside this.
God has left this particular building.
Exactly. Much like Elvis.
Right.
So with everything that you see, when it comes to like abandoned buildings and stuff like that, it's you start looking at stuff in the rooms and whatever, and you start going, oh, well, like this book was published in, you know, 2006. So this building was at least open then.
Yeah.
You don't already know. Sometimes you can look this stuff up if other people have gone, but I tend to like to do little investigating. Mm-hmm. So like I'll look at different things that are on the ground. I will look at the style of the building, stuff like that. And it's kind of fascinating to do it because on top of that, a lot of, I would say most urban explorers like to take pictures along with it, whether it's just with their phone or if they do what I do and bring in a camera and whatever. And then you create art out of those things that were once forgotten.
Right. So one of the things you left out in your definition that I know is kind of a part of urban exploring, whether it's a big part or not, is that you are going into buildings that you may not necessarily.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a trespassing aspect to it.
There's a risk.
There's a risk. There's a bit of danger to it. How much of that plays into.
Oh, that's definitely part of it. And
is there a little bit of a rush of like, I'm not supposed to be here?
Kind of, yeah. There's a little bit of adrenaline that goes with it. And, you know, believe me, I've done my mental health research as to why I am that person.
Sure.
And it's, you know, part of it is, you know, high stake situations. Mm-hmm. And with some urban exploring, there is that. Now, I always maintain, and I can say this wholeheartedly, I have never broken in anywhere.
Okay.
So when it comes to my version of urban exploring, I look for things that are open. If they're open, then it's open and abandoned and I can walk into it. So I have a little bit more deniability of, like, intentionally, I would full on own up to, this window was open, I went in through the window.
Right.
But if you're breaking in,
it's different.
That's different to me. Breaking in, and there are some people that disagree. There are some people that just break into places. I do not feel comfortable with it because I want the deniability that I did not break in this place.
Right.
And I'm not here to destroy anything. I was here to document. So certain things with urban exploring can be a little bit more hot in terms of getting in trouble,
yeah,
depending on location and depending on, like, if you're going in there with spray paint.
Well, yeah.
To destroy things.
That can be a part of it, too, is vandalism.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and there are a lot of people that do that.
You see a lot of people that like to, some of the pictures you've shown me of different places you've been in where people will just tag the place up,
mm-hmm,
with the spray paint. That is legally vandalism,
yes,
but, like, it's also art.
Yeah.
So like, I get it. I see both sides.
In the eyes of them, it's going to always be like it's vandalism or whatever. But
it's also, it's vandalism of something you just left standing there.
Exactly.
For so long.
And to me, once again, like, I don't do that. So it's not as much of a concern
for
me.
No, your vandalism is putting your stickers with your QR code all over the place wherever you go.
Yes. Yes, that's my type of vandalism.
You're like Miles Morales, exactly, in that way with this, hi, my name is, stickers, you know, putting everywhere.
Yep, but I haven't put any in any abandoned buildings.
Well, no, that would be foolish. I mean, some people would say taking pictures of being in an abandoned building you are not supposed to be in is already foolish because it's practically evidence that you trespassed.
Right, and so there's certain things, too, that, like, if I see a bunch of signs, that's usually mean it's being watched.
Right.
If there's a fence, I'm probably not going to hop a fence.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to do that. I am not that.
Are you also past your fence hopping days?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The last time I remember hopping a fence, I did do it for an abandoned building, but I was with a couple and Jacob, and they said if we got in trouble, they would pay the fine.
Oh, well, that's...
So,
I think that's an important thing to say, too, is that you are not, you don't do this alone.
No.
Because that would be extremely foolish.
Well, I mean, I have.
You have, but you don't.
But you shouldn't and you don't, usually. Usually you can go with, like, you can go with a pair of people. My cap is usually four in a group.
Yeah, that's the other, it's like, you want to go with at least a partner or maybe a couple of people, but you also don't want to show up with a posse.
Exactly. And that's the thing that happens. There are some people that aren't as tactful about urban exploring, and they will literally bring multiple people with them. Mm-hmm. And then you're going, okay, now that's, you have six of us entering a building and leaving a building. And I get, like, four, you can kind of space it out or you can kind of get away with it. When you start getting, like, six, seven, eight people, that becomes a problem, especially if a building is, like, really, really, really difficult to get in and out.
I would think six would be the hard, at least not doing it myself, but, like, six would be my hard cutoff.
Yeah, four is honestly mine because I feel like with four people, you have enough to go, okay, well, if two people leave and two people leave, you have pairs.
Yes. That's why I thought six, because you either have three pairs or you have two, three.
Well, I've been in a situation once before. I won't say where it was just for legal purposes, but...
Yeah, this is not the podcast where you get in legal trouble.
Where you get in legal trouble. The one
for admitting stuff.
Trouble. But there were six of us, and then security came by for a very hot building, and I typically don't do those, but this one I really wanted to do. And it ended up turning into three people went one way, two people went another way, and I got left in the middle and
had
to try and run. so with that, I already said six is too many.
Yeah.
There's six of us. This is too many people. And then that happened. And then after that, the person that brought the extra people, it's an telling
text tapes.
That is Paige.
Ah.
So
you won't tell on her. We've got your cat.
But with it was one of those things where I looked at it and I was like, okay, this is already too many people. And then once it happened, I went, like, the person that brought the extra people, I was like, I told you
yeah.
this was a bad idea. And then you left me.
Right.
And I didn't talk to him for a while. I was very angry with him.
Definitely worth being angry.
And I actually, I relayed this story because over the weekend, we went to an actual, like, open place that uh-huh. was allowed, and we had permission from the owner.
Nice.
And I was doing engagement photos for a couple, and then they brought three people. So they texted me though ahead of time and was like, hey, a couple of my friends are gonna come, is that okay? And I'm like, as long as we can stay on task.
I think it's different too because you got to contact the owner of the building and they said, yes, you are allowed to be here.
Yeah. So there was a school in Pontiac that was going to change into a community center, but before they did the flip, they were saying, okay, well, we want you guys to be able to create art in here because we've seen the art that's been created in here before. So we want to leave it open to you guys up until, like, I think they said April is when they're going to do a cutoff.
Did they charge or anything?
Nope.
Oh, that's excellent.
No charge. They honestly, they were really great about it. There was no charge and they didn't have a sign anything. Which I thought was a little, like,
a little odd. Yeah.
They probably should in case someone, you know, falls.
Right.
You know, but we were very careful with it because we've done this a million times. And the people that I was around, some of them are asbestos abaters that were there with us.
Yeah.
So, like, they know the drill. And we were having this conversation about that particular building that I went to. And I explained that to them. And they're like, no, you don't ever do that. Like, yeah. you all get caught or none of you get caught. Like, those people are assholes.
Right.
So I was like, thank you, my people. So, yeah, there's definitely some of that. But when you have permission or something is just so wide open, like for the longest time, Fisherbody 21 was so wide open that, like, people were having barbecues. That was my first building.
And well, and
20 of us, and we were having a barbecue.
Well, and because the buildings are abandoned, you have run into homeless people.
I only run into homeless people once inside a building. And, like, I peeked in the building and I went, nope, and I backed off. But, like, I never find drugs. I never find needles. I've never run into homeless people. What I have run into is a poop room.
Yeah.
Because every house and apartment building, there's a poop room somewhere in there. And it's just a matter of time before you find it.
Right. Well, yeah. If you've got a structure like that when the weather is bad, I would not blame a person who does not have some place to be.
Correct.
To break into that place to get out of the elements. And then it's not going to have working plumbing. So you're just going to have to pick a room that's going to be the grossest room that you don't want to be in very often anyways.
Yeah.
You pee in that corner and you poop in that one.
Exactly. And so you'll find that. But, like, sometimes you'll go into certain buildings and you'll see, like, there's still stuff in there.
Yeah.
And that's part of what is interesting, too. Like, you can go into a building and you can kind of tell, like, when people left.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, why did you leave all of this here? Because some buildings, it's like you walk into them and if you walk into a house, there's still a kitchen table or like a dining room table. People left their, like, wingtip shoes
right
upstairs on the bed. There's still a bed. There's still a wardrobe. Like, and it's like, you will tell by, like, the artifact how long it's been. So it's kind of almost a little archaeological.
A little bit, yeah.
But, like, weird.
So before you were doing this,
mm-hmm.
what was it, like, how did you get into to urban exploring? Before you'd even been in an abandoned building before, what was the thing that you were like, oh, that sounds fun, I want to do that?
I mean, if we want to really, really, really go backward, I think my interest in weird shit like this is because of the Titanic.
Okay.
I had an obsession, a hyper focus that, you know, I get into those
yeah.
about the Titanic when that movie came out. I watched a ton of documentaries. I did all this reading about boats mm-hmm. and, like, weird stuff. Like, I knew about a bunch of different ones that sank and whatever. So when I got older and I started running around downtown a lot, I would see all these abandoned buildings and, like, my mother was terrified of the city, like, did not like it down there at all. She grew up at, like, Ayton Greenfield, so, like, for her, it was, like, everything is dangerous. But I started going down there for fun, and I met some people throughout, like, I think it was somebody that I actually met from the gym that I used to work at. There were a pair of twins that I used to hang out with, and they were into this stuff. And so they were like, oh, yeah, we should take you to a building. So the first time I ever went to a building, it was with them, with one of them, not both of them, and ended up meeting a group of other people. And that is where I met Christy. So once I met Christy, and we had another friend at one point, it was the three of us, and we were just, like, always doing this. So, I mean, it's to the point of, like, there were videos of us dancing around in bandos and things like that. And it became fun, even though there was, like, some of the things about exploring, and I don't know how much it really is like this now, but at that point in time, there was a lot of people that they would be like, oh, I just went to that building, and now you went there, so now I'm mad at you because you went to that building. I just shot that. Now you're stealing my thunder. Or, like, a group of people would go, and they would, you know, knowingly go, okay, well, let's only take four people, so then other people wouldn't get invited. And then it was like, what, you didn't invite me to go? And so there's a lot of drama that came with all of it, but the art that came out of it, I always found it was really interesting, because I would kind of joke around, like, I'm finding beauty in shit. And that kind of helped me, like, fine-tune my eye a little bit more to landscape, because I got bored just doing Detroit buildings, like, outside, you know, landscape of, like, skyline and whatever. Like, you can only do that so many times.
Right.
And so there were new views to be seen. You know, there was a time where there was a building that was near Michigan Central Station, and we got up there. And so we have angles of Michigan Central Station and Michigan Avenue, like, all the way down from a very high angle that was not taken with a drone, because drones weren't a thing back then.
Right.
So once drones started becoming a thing, it became less and less needed to be able to get on a roof, but then you're not getting the rush of being on a roof.
Sure.
Which, like, I'm insane, so there are quite a few buildings that I have been very high up in the middle of the city, and there's no other view like that. It's also a very good reminder to take your meds. Because I got up on one, and then I started, like, panicking, and I was like, oh, I forgot to take my medication. This is bad.
Yeah, that's no good at all. I thought you got up high and was like, wow, I could just end it.
No. I got up really high onto a building once, right downtown. It was a building that my friends were working on it, so they told me they left the hatch open.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit more accessible, but I got up there, and it's one of the highest buildings downtown. So I'm up there, and I'm, like, looking at everything, and I'm like, this is really cool, but this was a bad day for me to forget my Zoloft. And I started getting a little panicky while I was up there, because I was by myself.
Yes.
And I'm like,
which we covered 20 minutes ago is not what you're supposed to do.
Shouldn't do that. Yeah. Luckily, the building was active. I will say that. The building actually had activity in it, so it wasn't abandoned, but, like, that's kind of part of the whole thing, is that certain times, like, there will be buildings that are actually abandoned that you get up on top of.
Yeah.
And if you recall, I took you to a parking garage to propose, so I didn't take you to an abandoned building.
But you did say you wanted pictures in an abandoned building at one point.
I did, yeah. And that's the building that is fenced off, and you can't get into it now.
I'm sorry.
Which is sad. It was fenced off a couple of years ago. It was the church.
Yeah.
So, but there's there are some other places that I've been, and I put up a little gallery on our Instagram of, like, some of the random places that I've been, because it extends far out from Detroit as well, because I've explored in Gary, Indiana,
right,
and Las Vegas and California. I'm trying to think if there was any other place.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you, is that, like, It's not like Detroit is unique in having abandoned buildings in it.
No.
But if there was another city that you think has abandoned buildings that you would like to explore, is there one that comes to mind that you're like, oh, I've heard Chicago's got some great buildings, or, you know, Idaho or
something? I would honestly go fuck around more in LA.
Yeah.
Probably, because there's probably more out there. I know there's certain places in Pennsylvania, which would be kind of cool as well. There's not really anything in like Boston or Chicago. Well, there is stuff in Chicago, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's more like abandoned factories
mm-hmm.
versus abandoned like buildings that are like houses or, you know, have any landmark desire about them. There's definitely been some that I've seen before that were like factories and stuff that look really cool. But also Chicago feels like a different animal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a little more, I feel like you could get killed a lot easier in Chicago.
Maybe. We're not from Chicago, so you don't know the area as well as you.
Well, and that's part of it as well. Like, I know Gary, Indiana is one of the most dangerous places ever. And that one is one where there's an abandoned church, very, very popular, called City Methodist. There's no roof anymore in the cathedral part, and there's like a little theater in the other side, and it's wide open from all sides, and it's across the street from a school.
Oh Lord.
So you're just like, okay, just walk right in. I've been in there a million times by myself.
Ugh.
And that is the only place in Gary, Indiana I will go alone.
Get it together, Gary.
That is where Michael Jackson is from.
Gary, Indiana?
Yeah.
All the
Jacksons are from Gary, Indiana. The only time I ever drove around Gary was I knew there was a mural of the Jacksons that was not very far from that building. So I drove over to it, quickly got out, took some pictures, got back in the car. It got the fuck out of Gary. I would never. I know some people that go in groups out there and they go to the school, and there's other places that are really cool looking, but like, I'm not screwing with Gary, Indiana, you know. So, but I did do quite a bit of poking around between, you know, Joshua Tree, LA, almost drove to the border and found a bunch of stuff. And that was all by myself.
And then, good way to get killed.
Yeah, you know.
Or human trafficked.
Honestly, I ran into Border Patrol.
Yeah.
I did. They were not, like, I wasn't in trouble. They were just doing a traffic stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, Border Patrol, I am too close south. because I don't know where the hell I'm driving in California, let's be honest here. There was definitely some interesting stuff out there. And I have tell people this story, so this is always kind of funny. But I went in 2017 to California, and then I went back in the middle of 2020. And during the time that I was in there 2020, in 2017, we found an abandoned water park.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was with two other people. This place was awesome. I have tons of pictures from this spot, and I absolutely loved it. It felt like a video game. It really did.
Right.
And there was a huge water tower that had like two ladders that go to the side. And it was like right off the pavement. So we just pulled right in there and parked. And get out of the car, and I look at the ladders, and I'm like, okay. And so I walk over and I just start climbing it, and I was with my buddy Dan, and he's like, what are you doing? And I look down and I go, climb the water tower. And he goes, are you fucking crazy? And I'm like, you'll be fine. And he's like, I'm going to go paint. So he left me there by myself climbing a water tower.
That ladder could have come right out from under you at any moment.
Yep. It felt very sturdy. So I will say this. I'm not like, I don't rush when I do stuff like this. I check to see if things are wobbly.
Yeah.
So I climb up the first ladder. Everything's solid. Climb up the second ladder. Everything's solid. I get to the top. As soon as I step off the ladder, I realize the magnitude of my decisions, because this is really fucking high up. And I'm looking down and I'm just like, oh boy. So I do this thing, no matter where I'm walking in an abandoned space, where I half press,
yes,
to make sure that nothing is
going to, that if you put your full weight on something and it's not going to go away.
Exactly. And there have been many times where I have done that and then felt something loose and went nope, and
yeah,
stepped backward, because I have put my foot through a floor once again by myself. Really bad decision. So when you do that, you're like, okay, lift the foot and slowly back up.
Yes.
So I press on this and it's like, yeah, this seems pretty sturdy. So I start walking a little bit more and then it starts to bow a teeny bit. And I'm like, okay, as long as I don't go into the center, I'm not going to end up like that Hannibal scene where there's all those bodies at the bottom of the silo. So then I went to the other edge and I was taking pictures and everything else. I sat down on the edge and dangled my feet off and took a picture. It makes everyone nauseated to look at this photo.
That how high up
it
you are.
It stresses everyone out. And I'm just like, at this point in my life, I'm like, no, no, okay, you know, no big deal. Fast forward to 2020 and I'm in a car and I'm driving down the freeway and I see this water tower from the distance and I go, oh my God. And the person I was with looks and goes, that is not the thing you climbed, right? And I go, yep. And she turned and she went, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well,
I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm here with you. That's already clearance enough that something is wrong with me. But when it comes to stuff like that, like I look back on it and I'm like, no, that's cool. That was badass. Even though I could have died.
It's only cool because you lived.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I literally came back home and I proposed and I settled down.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So there. But yeah, like there were certain thrills about that. There were other places that Dan and I popped into. Like there was like an abandoned motel that was in a city, like in a little town. And like the pool was cleared out and somebody had spray painted it. So it looked really cool. And once again, it kind of looked like a video game, like you're playing Tony Hawk. But seeing things like that were super interesting. And like, I know in Joshua Tree, I found an abandoned house that was kind of like, it was empty, but the way it was set up was really cool.
You say it was abandoned, but the people who lived there were very upset that you came in through the side window.
No, literally it was like, there were no doors, there were no windows. Like it almost looked like somebody might be working on it. I don't know. We didn't feel like we were safe in Texas. When we drove through Texas, we hopped out there and looked at some stuff. So there's a place called Cadillac Ranch where somebody took Cadillacs and literally like stuck them in the ground vertically.
Yeah.
And that's like a huge tourist destination. Well, we found another spot that isn't a tourist destination where somebody did it with VW Beetles. So and like there was like a Packard that was also out there and a couple stuff. It looked like an old rest stop.
Yeah.
But there was like a bunch of writing on the walls that was like Native American saying this place is haunted.
Oh, wow.
Stuff and like, it's not haunted, whatever. But we were walking around and there was like a house behind it. So we went in the house and the house was like all disheveled. There was a like abandoned truck there in a Texaco.
What ghosts haunt the VW Beetle
I don't
graveyard?
Know. Maybe I pissed something off when I was back in
I guess the other question is, how pissed are you if you were an American Indian ghost that has haunted that for decades and then somebody plants like 20 VW Beetles face first in the dirt on this ground that you've been haunting, and this is this is your unlife now, is that you haunt the VW Beetle place.
I feel like this needs to be a level in Phasmophobia.
It does say, yeah, no, there's a couple of abandoned buildings in Phasmophobia. There's an abandoned high school and there's an abandoned asylum.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't play them because they're too big, even for four people.
Fun enough, I've been in both versions of abandoned things like that.
Yeah.
I've been to Eloise. I did do that one legally. The guys from the Detroit Paranormal Edition guys,
right?
They had me come through to do a tour when they first got a hold of it.
Yep.
And so there was still stuff in there, but they sort of cleaned it up, and it's really weird when they do that. So it kind of feels like you're cheating if it's not dirty. Like if it's not covered in asbestos, are you really urban exploring? which leads me to also my pretend nephew, I call him. When he was 15 years old, his mom said, like, yeah, you can take him urban exploring as long as you don't take him where he's going to fall through a floor. And I said, okay. So I took him to my two favorite places and he became obsessed with it. So now he's also doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, like, finds these, like, old ports where there are boats and stuff.
Sure.
And climbs all over those and whatever. And so, like, he got bit with the bug. And now if I really do poke around anywhere, it's usually with him because it's like, okay, well, I feel safe with you. Like, we're good. So
he's not going to just abandon you.
Exactly. There would be no way. And I would, it's funny because it's like after the that situation, and it's like, I'm not, like I said, I'm not mad at that guy anymore. But back in the day, like, I, after that happened, I was like, I need to be more careful about who I go with.
I love the idea that a decade later, you decided you want to talk about this on a podcast to call out a guy who abandoned you. At
literally, I see him all the time. He knows what he did. Like, we are fine. But it's interesting because there's so much that goes into it, and it can be unsafe. But, like, I do love it because it gives you stories. It gives you artwork.
It's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience. And, like, I can point to those pictures and go, man, look at this school. This school used to have this beautiful auditorium, and then somebody came in and tried to steal wool paint and a photography photo and burn the whole thing down.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that, you know, are historical with it as well, like all of the years that I took pictures of Michigan Central Station, only from the outside, but all these pictures, and then they renovate it, and I have years and years of pictures of this.
Yeah.
From different angles, different perspectives, and there are people that have it from the inside. And there are people like Jacob who spent the night in Michigan Central Station on the roof at 15 years old.
No, thanks.
So overall, though, it's, you know, we used to do like portraits in there as well. All that portrait work, honestly, was like one of the reasons why I was even able to get like an Our Detroit award, because people knew my portrait work.
Yeah.
And this was before everybody was getting naked in abandoned buildings. So, like, I kind of helped bring that along, unfortunately.
Nice job.
I know, that's my fault. But I'm like, I'm not the only one that did it, but I was one of the first.
No, it's all you.
So it's that sort of thing. But there's so much history that goes along with it. And now I'm seeing all these buildings being torn down. So that's part of the reason, too, where I was like, I can talk about this. This is fine. Because there's so many buildings that I've been to that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bummer because it's like I have all these memories of creating in these spaces. And they're either now inaccessible or they're being torn down. And especially with the draft coming, there is a lot of buildings being torn down in Detroit right now. So urban exploring is pretty much dead here for the most part, unless you're going into random houses, which is not bad, but it's just, it doesn't have the same feeling anymore. So I do miss it, and I like doing it, but I also don't do it anymore because I really can't afford to be arrested or to get my gear taken away.
Right.
So it's kind of one of those things that it's a little bit behind me, but I do miss it, and I love it. And I look back at those pictures constantly, and I'm just like, man, that was so much fun.
I'm glad you have those memories, but I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, that I don't do it.
You value your current life. And,
yes.
And, to the point where you're like, nah, it's maybe not a good idea.
Yeah, you know, before you, there was just a lot of recklessness.
Yeah.
So I look at that and I go, okay, well, I'm grown.
It'd be like if I was still backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just a bad idea.
I mean, like, I wouldn't care if you were backyard wrestling as long as you're not gonna, you know, like, die doing it. That's all. Like,
light tubes. And,
if you break your collarbone or something, like, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It's kind of like when you broke the TV with the video game controller.
I had to bring that up.
Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't care. I think it's funny. You're still like, mm-hmm. But, like, you know, I fully understand the weight of the consequences, and it didn't used to be so heavy on a consequence, especially right. Like with certain counties have like worse rules, and there are certain counties I just wouldn't fuck with back then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to Oakland County, fuck that shit. Like, that is a ticket and a court date and who knows what else. But like Wayne County really didn't have like a lid on it back then, so everybody did it, and it wasn't something that you could really control. But now that there's cameras everywhere and, you know, a lot more, so a lot of the buildings are a lot older now, there's a lot more danger with it.
Right.
So, like I say, I miss it, but I really try to be careful with it if I even touch anything now, because it's not worth getting, you know, thrown in jail for.
Right. You heard it here first, folks. Acronym says don't go in abandoned buildings.
I never said that. I just said I'm not doing it.
Don't go in abandoned buildings. It's illegal. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to the Really Big Fan Podcast. I'll plug our Patreon one more time at patreon.com/reallybigfanpod, where you can not only get ad-free versions of this show, but for $5 a month, you can get our Really Big Fan Pod double feature. You can hear us talk about some of our favorite movies, me and Mr. Mike Pandoff. I'm here, joined as always by my co-host Acronym, and we just got done talking about your passion, or your former passion, I suppose, for...
It's still a passion, but it's just not my, it's not my bread and butter these days.
Yeah. Some people go to bars to meet other people. You met Christy in an abandoned building.
I did. And she was the one of the best things that ever happened to me.
True. Very true. We love Christy.
We love Christy so much.
Before we leave you this week, as always, we want to hit you up with our serotonin boost. I'll go first this week. Because I'm honestly not feeling very serotonin boosted today.
No.
But if I think about it over the last week, what has been a lot of fun is that I've been trying out that game Helldivers 2 that everyone's been talking about. Thanks to my buddy King Mob. He got a copy of it for me on Steam so we could play together. And our gaming group has been playing it the last week or so. Really fun. It's a lot like the movie... Starship Troopers,
mm-hmm.
where you're all playing like space marines essentially,
yeah,
and they put you in these giant bullets. I call them the man bullets, and they fire them out of a spaceship at a planet, and then you land and you get out of the man bullet, and you have to fight giant bugs. There's actually two so far. There's two different enemy types. There's the giant bugs, and then there's planets that are populated by automatons, which just look Terminators.
The bug is the one where you were showing me the video where somebody dubbed it to a "Can fit that dog."
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Absolutely. but it's really neat. One of the things that's that makes it unique is that you can call in what's called stratagems. Mainly, you can call in better weaponry because you start with like a machine gun of some sort and a pistol,
mm-hmm.
and you can call in bigger weaponry like a rocket launcher or a heavy machine gun or something like that, and they'll fire a little bullet out of the spaceship, and you have a little thing flying up in the sky to let you know don't stand there.
Oh, nice.
So it doesn't kill you. Over the weekend, they unlocked the mechs you could get in and walk around in, and that was really fun. I look forward to when you get to a certain level, you can unlock them for, you know, for realsies.
Yeah.
But they were just kind of a free, like, hey, you guys did this. And that's another thing that's interesting about the game is there's different parts of the map, and there's a guy that is in charge of being basically the dungeon master of the game overall and setting up like, okay, these aliens are going to come from this area and then they're going to take over this planet. So like this week, you all have to focus on liberating this planet from the aliens.
I am listening to you, but when you were doing this and then you were pointing,
you were just thinking of
brain was going, if you see him, point him out. And I got a little distracted.
I think that's one of the only reasons I haven't played Lethal Company with anybody else other than my gaming group is because we associate with DJ Godfather's.
Yes.
Player hater.
Yeah.
His house, if you see him, point him out.
So that is what was going through my brain when you were
moving
your hands.
But yeah, Helldivers has been a lot of fun. It's been a new addition to our weekly gaming sessions, and it's been good. I've gotten to play with some randos, which was really funny.
God, those the other night so ridiculous. There was, we just got this game tonight, bro. This shit's fire.
Yep.
This shit's fire, bro. Oh my God,
so excited about the game. It was really funny.
It's ridiculous.
It was kind of cute. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet and you've heard everybody talk
Democracy, bro.
Yeah, that's
about that one.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is that like it's like heavy propaganda like Starship Troopers.
Oh yeah.
So the intro video is all about like we're spreading democracy across the galaxy and all this. That wouldn't like really
just kept yelling democracy, bro, like, yeah, every couple minutes, and I'm like, oh my God.
We're spreading freedom with fire with a flamethrower. So yeah, Helldivers 2 is a good time.
For me, it's not going to excite anybody else, but I've been going to the gym, and I'm super stoked about it.
You're so swole.
Yeah, not really. I have lost like 60 pounds since like 2020. So like I definitely have lost weight.
Right.
I'm still losing weight, but my told my concert group, I'm like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds before amphitheater season. And it's like, I mean, I don't like, I'm not putting a hard deadline on myself, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm trying to keep myself motivated.
Is that what you focus on when you're at the gym? Is the exercise you do are focused on weight loss or?
It's like strength, weight loss, that sort of stuff, stamina.
Because I always focused on like upper body strength when I would do it.
So for me,
I need to focus on cardio.
I do total body everything. So what I typically do is when I get in there, I do cardio and I do inclines on the treadmill. Uh-huh. And part of that was like, there was stuff that I had seen before where people were doing incline for like a full 20 minutes every day. And they would be doing it at 12 incline. So it was like super intense. Yeah. I cannot do that yet.
Yeah, no.
What I do is I increase three levels of incline every like 4 or 5 minutes till I get to 20. And then I do that 12 or till I get to 12, and I do that until I get to 20 minutes. So I am partially doing it, and I kept joking about this to the social person for upheaval that I'm training for Belknap Park. Because there is a stage that's on the top of the hill.
Ooh.
And even though they have a golf cart, sometimes I'm running late.
Yeah.
And so I have walked up that hill with all of my gear. And it goes up like this. And then it turns and it goes up like
this.
Oh, no. It is awful. So I'm like, I am going to try and train to at least get my stamina somewhere good, so when I have upheaval or if I have to go to breakaway again, like I can go up that hill without dying.
You can go running up that hill?
Yes, yes. Not running. You literally, it's so steep, you cannot run. Or you're a crazy person. I don't know. I don't think that anybody can be fit enough to not be out of breath when you get up that hill.
Right.
I would like to make it easier on myself, is basically what I'm saying. Especially with carrying my backpack.
Yes.
You know how heavy my backpack
is. That is a heavy backpack.
It's like the weight of a small child.
Yeah, my backpack is unusually heavy, but your backpack is twice as heavy.
And now there's two cameras in that thing.
Right.
So it's super heavy. So I was like, okay, well, I'd been going with Hex Tapes to the gym before she moved.
Yeah.
And that got me motivated. And now it's like every time I go to the gym, I'm like sending her a screenshot like, this is what I did today, Paige.
Right.
Because I'm like trying to make sure that I still keep going and we motivate each other. But definitely trying to do like total body stuff. So like I'll do the cardio and then I'll go in and I'll do weights. And I switch up the weights almost every session, but I'm targeting the specific areas.
Right.
And I do all the areas. It's just a matter of like, okay, today I'm going to do pull-ups. Okay, today I'm going to do lat pull-down. Those target the same areas, so I don't do them on the same days.
Right.
But I don't have a rigid schedule with it either. And part of some of the exercises that I know are from when I worked in a gym when I was like 19 years old. And then Troy, one of our friends, is also a former trainer.
Right.
He's still a trainer. He's not doing content like that anymore. On social, but he gave me access to his app a long time ago when he still had it, and it had all these different workouts. So he made workout plans with me. He had me do like progress pictures and things like that, and was trying to train me a little bit on that sort of stuff too. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I need to keep with it though, because I am losing weight. And when I had talked to my doctor like last year or whatever, when she did my blood or whatever, she's like, you're not in like a danger, like you're not in a place where you're in a bad place, but for the sake of your knees and just for your overall health, if you want to continue eating the way that you're eating right now to lose weight, like, you know, cut out certain snacks or whatever, like tons of carbs and things like that. So I can't do two bagels a day.
I haven't been doing two bagels a day for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
Because somebody gives me shit about eating two bagels every morning.
But I don't do as much on the carb stuff, or at least as much gluten. I've done a lot of gluten-free shit to change my diet. So I am happy that those results are happening and I'm continuing to do it. But it kind of, it does make me feel better when I go.
Yeah.
And I don't feel nearly as I want to stab everyone when I go. Mm. So That's always good, right?
I always get bored if I'm on the bike or if I'm on the treadmill or something like that. Like within the first minute, I'm like, I don't want to be doing this.
So I'm weird. I put on my headphones. I shut my eyes.
Yeah.
I close my eyes and just listen to the music. And I kind of mutter along to the songs. Sometimes I'm jamming.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever runs into me at the gym, they're going to see it where I'll be on there. And I'll be like listening to fucking Bring Me the Horizon or something. And I'm just like, like doing what
I'm imagining, like when I've caught you with your headphones on here and you're cleaning, and I can hear you whisper singing Green Day.
Yeah.
I'm picturing you at the gym doing that.
Pretty much, that's kind of how it goes. And I'm like, if anybody hears me, they hear me. I used to like very verbally like open my mouth when I would run when I was a teenager, and they were like, "Why are you singing when you're on the treadmill?" And I'm just like, this is the only way.
Yeah.
I can keep myself motivated is to fucking jam, dude. So I have a playlist that I use for that specifically, and it works. So
cool.
Yay for healthy.
And we hope we've been your jam this week for our Really Big Fan podcast. Thank you to everybody who joins us on Twitch, which you can too, Wednesday afternoons / evenings at about 7 o'clock. And then the podcast, as you know, if you're listening, goes up usually on Friday mornings. And you can check us out on all the social media at Really Big Fan Pod. We're on Threads, we're on X, we're on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we will check you guys out next week. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Really Big Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Jazuk, joined by my...
Calm your tits, bro.
I just wanted to see what you would do if I just started as soon as we hopped over.
Apparently, I turned into Vince Russo is what happened.
Bro.
Who's coming out of boxes, bro?
Bro. Solid Snake, that's who.
Which I didn't know that Solid Snake has other forms.
Well... it's not technically him, but there are other agents with the name Snake, but there's Liquid Snake.
Which is so ridiculous, and it's so ridiculous to me that that is the case.
The fact
that I didn't believe you when you told me.
The fact that he's called Liquid Snake is the least ridiculous thing about him.
I mean, like, that's like a plumbing thing. Liquid Snake, right?
Well, in a later game, one of the versions of him is referred to as Naked Snake. He's not really naked. He's still wearing a camo and stuff, but
like, the fact he's not just wearing his headband, right?
No, it's the fact
he's not fully naked.
He has it's the fact that he has no gear on him when he starts is why he goes in as code name Naked Snake.
Naked Snick.
Naked Snick.
Snack. Naked Snack.
Okay.
You good?
I am. Yeah.
You gonna actually start now?
I am.
Go for it.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay.